It's always the same thing. Hurry up, Dan. Hurry up, Dan.
Is this thing on? Hello.
Precisely.
Y'all ready? Are we live? Everybody live?
Yes.
Almost. Yes.
All right. Here we go.
Go for it. Push the button, girl.
Hi, I'm Rick.
I'm Dan.
I'm George.
I'm Jake.
And we are Queer Magnolias,
the podcast.
In each episode,
we're going to talk about everything from growing up queer in the South
to the issues affecting our community today.
With a little bit of fabulous sprinkled in along the way.
Join us for an all-you-can-eat buffet of queer joy.
Mixed in with the occasional bitch fest.
But always served with the spiciest tea.
Yes, y'all, this is tea. Y'all know it is.
The spiciest.
This is tea, honey. This is tea in my LGBT cup.
There you go. Welcome, y'all.
Hi.
Hi, everybody.
Episode of Queer Magnolias.
Yes.
We're having such fun with this live thing. It's something different for us, obviously. Everyone knows that we used to sit in the same room. Now we sit in other rooms, and we still have fun with it. So welcome back to live.
We like to see as little of each other as possible.
Well,
yes, I have their cameras turned off right now. I can hear them.
I can't see them. I was about to say, I'm going to make mine the only photo up there. Whatever.
Uh-huh. She's her own wallpaper, honey.
Got to do what you got to do, baby.
How is everybody's week going?
Oh, my God. It's been a week. So
I think everyone has agreed that this week has sucked like last week and the week before. What's the audience feeling?
It's nonstop. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I second
Rick has had to work for a living. It's really difficult on him.
I've had to work a full week for weeks. That's crazy.
I see.
That 5 days a week shit is just not right. I mean, it's overrated.
I hear that.
I mean, yes. What is this, Thomas Jefferson era? I don't think so.
Oh, girl, stop. I will say working is, I'm not up for it. I would rather depend on the kindness of strangers.
I mean, and you know, I tend to agree, but I also don't mind being busy, but I don't need to be slammed every single day. And that's sort of how I feel.
Well, That's not what you said.
This is a family show. This is a family show.
Yeah, honey. We are family, that kind of family show.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Thank you.
Speaking of work, though, one of my favorite quotes ever by queer icon Quentin Crisp, when asked what his dream job was, he said, "None. I do not dream of work."
Oh,
I love it. That will be my new quote moving forward.
Have either of you seen the Quentin Crisp video
from the old days?
Or so?
The Naked Civil Servant, the movie?
Well, not the movie, just him being interviewed on any kind of talk show or whatever.
Sure.
He's just absolutely crazy and delicious.
Yeah, completely. Completely.
He embodies old queen 100%. Yeah. I love it.
Everything I want to grow up to be.
I'm aspiring.
Exactly.
So what in the hell are we going to talk about this week?
I mean, somebody said last week what the topic was, right?
Like, I always need reminding.
We did. I mean, I don't know that means we have to actually live up to that, but we did say what we were going to talk about last week.
We can start there.
Yeah. So. I think the whole concept was things that used to be acceptable when we were younger or in the day that just people you just can't do today that are unacceptable in social and polite society.
I really do want to ask the two of you, because I actually did remember. So I grew up with both my mom and dad being voracious smokers. Mm. I tell people that my mom always wanted the windows closed, so there was a low haze in every room. It looked like a pool hall or a card game, uh-huh. except neither of the... Well, we did play a lot of cards, Mama and I, but... There was no pool table, but there was a low haze in every room. I will tell you, I'm so glad that I don't have to go in a bar or a restaurant and be assaulted by cigarette smoke.
I feel like your living room, Dan, was like LAX in 1982. Visibility, yes, zero, yes. Honey. Smog, as far as the eye can see.
As far as the eye can see. You couldn't see across the room. If you wanted to breath.
I just have this vision of a one of those pendant lights hanging from the ceiling over the table that had the little yellow thing on it, but it wasn't actually yellow glass. It was actually clear glass. It was just so much smoke and nicotine. Yes,
nicotine.
Yellow.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Mama, ma'am.
Every spring, Mama scrubbed the walls from top to bottom with 409, and she would remove all the cigarette smoke from all the walls in the house, and it was a week-long chore, but it was... It was horrible.
I know that ranch bucket looked like Gatorade.
Yes, yes. Dirty mop water, honey. Dirty mop water.
It was neon yellow.
Daddy, we would go to a restaurant and Daddy would say, the food would be coming in. He'd be like, well, I just lit a cigarette. Every time I light a cigarette, they bring the food. But I'm but you were never without a lit cigarette. So, of course, they brought the food when you
had a cigarette. My dad was exactly the same way. And as kids, we used to say, hey, can you light a cigarette, please? Because we're hungry. We want to eat now.
I love that.
But it worked every single time.
So I remember that time in North Carolina where they started saying, okay, we're going to cut back. And so a restaurant would have 25 tables or 50 tables or whatever. 20 would be smoking and 20 would be non-smoking, but there was no partition. Girl. You just simply sat there.
There was a little sign that said smoking and non on the other side. Yes. That was the partition.
And when they put that sign up, Daddy increased his smoking because he would say without being foul, he would say, I don't care if they die. I'm going to have my cigarette and they cannot take it away from me.
And I mean this with all the love in my heart. What did he die of?
Well, he had lung cancer. He had a stroke, quite a few things, you know, circulatory issues, but
orneriness.
So I think both Rick and George know about this, but my dad had lung cancer. The surgeon removed the lower third lobe of one of his lungs, which is for a person that was a better place to be. And the surgeon came into his room and said, Mr. Irvin, I know you're ready to go home. What are you looking forward to? He said, as soon as you sign that damn paper, I'm going to have a cigarette. And she's like, you know, you're not. And he did.
I mean, at that point, why not? Right.
Well, maybe. Let's see. Don't separate me from my tequila today. So,
you know, here's my thing. Girl, we're all going to die of something. No one's living forever.
We are. But I will say that, honestly, I'm so glad that people don't smoke in bars and restaurants as they used to. I was in Reno a few weeks ago and walking through.
I'm sorry.
Well, it was actually nice, but walking through the casino, there were people smoking in the casino, and it was the Peppermill, which is a large casino there, and I was a little surprised because in Palm Springs and Vegas, the smokers are separated, but I guess not in Reno, so not yet anyway.
It is funny to think about like the idea of a smoking section and a non-smoking section, because I don't think when I was a kid, I don't think there was ever like not a non-smoking section. It was just very small. It was like four tables because
exactly. Especially where we grew up. I mean, yes. Everybody smoked, right?
It was tobacco country, honey. Yeah, exactly. North Carolina. Yep.
You know, I smoked for a very long time, and when they stopped, they made smoking in bars illegal. It was frustrating as a smoker to be forced to go outside to, you know, smoke if it's cold, if it's raining, if it's all these things. But I was really surprised at how quickly I actually came to prefer it. And I agree with you. I was like, I just didn't like, even though I was a smoker, I didn't like being in a bar where there was smoke. Now I quit smoking, 12 years ago now. And now if the person two cars in front of me in traffic is smoking, I can smell it. I'm like, oh my God, like go away. So it's crazy. Remember smoking on planes?
I do.
No,
so,
I do not.
So I knew Dan would.
I went to Austria.
Since 1922.
When Nixon was president, hon, you know what I'm saying? So thanks. I went to Austria in the early 90s with my friend John, and he was a smoker, and the last eight rows on Lufthansa was smoking. The ones ahead of us were not. And I'm like, you know, they recirculate the air, right?
I mean,
and was he sitting in that first seat of the last eight rows, just go and blowing the smoke out?
And John was like, Daddy, he picked up the pace when we got on the plane. By the time we got to Austria, I was high.
I was going to say, Dan, you don't smoke. So like that was that. What a terrible place for you to sit.
It was not fun for me. I will tell you, I love going to Austria with John, but I did not like sitting next to him on the Lufthansa flight.
That's
it
right.
It was not fun at all. So it's sort of funny because I've been one of those people that I will have one or two cigarettes a year, but the cigarette has never been something that I crave. Mm. Let us say once again, tequila and gin, but the cigarette was not my mantle to take up. So,
you know what I was thinking about too, and I don't know if this applies. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but landlines. I mean, my mother still has a landline phone, and she just recently got a smartphone, and the lady's texting me now with emojis. It's crazy.
Uh-huh.
But,
it's a whole new language, honey. It is. Yeah.
It's insane. But landlines have pretty much gone away at this point, and I don't think about it anymore. I have a landline in my office, and I rarely use it. If I need to make a call, I do it on my phone.
Yeah, same. Like I have obviously one at my desk at work too, but I would rather just text a coworker, like, yep, you know, than have to pick it. Like, are they even at your desk? Like, I don't know. Like, because of like hybrid work now, it's so weird, you know?
Yep. But, well, I use like Google Chat a lot. So especially at work, and yeah, we have some people who prefer the older, more archaic ways of communicating, like writing stuff in an email. And I'm like, you know, just archive your GChats and then you've still got it in writing and it's date stamped and the whole thing. It's just easier for some reason for me.
Gosh, I don't know how to do that.
So I looked up the film The Day After Tomorrow with Jake Gyllenhaal. And one of the things about that is I remember, you know, the earth or the northern part of the U.S. began to freeze over.
Uh-huh.
And of course, cell phones didn't work and they had to look for a landline.
Yes, payphone.
And I do remember that. And occasionally when I'm traveling, I'll see a payphone. 9 out of 10 times, you know, the phone,
the phone
is over there somewhere and has been beat to death. But I did see a real working payphone not long ago and I was like, wow.
Was it in Reno?
No,
right next time to the smoker's lounge.
No, but I might have seen a beeper in Reno.
Welcome. So, you know,
I was thinking about, you know, so everyone likes to text and not, you know, they don't want to talk on the phone. But I think a beeper was like the ultimate first time of control. Oh, I can't talk to you, or beep me or call me 911, you know?
Girl, when that shit came out, if you had a beeper, you were either a doctor or a drug dealer.
And exactly. That was it. It was one or the other. No in between.
That is it. That is all it was for.
Well, I might have talked to both of mine that way. You know, come on.
You those things do not have to be mutually exclusive. You could have been both.
True that. So,
well, I've always been a fan of technology and advancements. And, you know, I look at things like handwriting versus sending a text or an email. Some people prefer letters. I'm not a fan. Now, I'm not a fan of like writing letters. I'd rather just send a text. Like I tell you all day long, just text me. Just text me. I don't need to have a conversation about it. I don't need an email. Just send me a text. But you
and
know
if
what?
You don't send a text. You get one real quick back. Then, are y'all just ignoring me? What is happening?
That's when you don't get a response for a week. Yes, exactly. Like y'all being really quiet. Jesus.
Exactly. Jesus. Exactly. Took the Lord's name in vain and everything.
Right. Bring it on.
I'm like, just give me, I'm buried and I don't want to talk to you right now. I'm fine with that. Just let me know you got it. So, but
who it is?
That's my favorite. Yeah. Lost phone. Don't know you.
Exactly.
It's hilarious. But I gotta say, one of the things I do a lot of handwriting for is when I'm taking notes in a meeting. I just, the trying to take notes on an iPad and the clicking of the keyboards or the laptop or whatever just makes me insane. And I'd rather just handwrite my notes and then I'll throw it in the computer later. But
well, you know, it's funny that you bring that up because something that I think that people just do not do anymore is penmanship. Like cursive, kids don't learn to write cursive anymore. Cursive is a dead art.
Mm-hmm. Except for that lovely font they have that's a cursive font.
Hey, well, I mean,
what's it called?
People can't read it because they're not accustomed to writing it. So
isn't that crazy?
What is this language? I don't understand what this language is.
Or telling time on like a clock with hands. Like a lot of kids don't.
Well, that's easy. I have a clock in my office that has all fives on it. It's 5 o'clock.
It's somewhere. Happy hour.
Exactly. Okay. I was like, okay.
Took a minute, did it?
It took a minute.
Yeah, that was a stretch, Rick.
Come on. It's not a stretch. It's 5 o'clock. You got it. Of course you got it.
You got it. Dan has the same clock. It's just internal.
Right?
Exactly.
My internal clock is ticking, honey. It's happy hour somewhere.
You know, happy hours wherever you make the hour.
That is very true. You know something else that I think that used to be so socially acceptable, right? Or at least where we grew up, was like spanking your children or like being like more like open and vocal about punishing your kids, you know, like snatch a knot in you in the mall if you don't act right, that kind of thing.
My grandpa used to make me go get a switch when he would get mad at me. I'm like, why I gotta go get it? And he's like, because you're gonna do the work. So
spanking. Do people spank their kids anymore? Is that a thing? Or is that just like now it's...
Have you been out in public with people and their kids? No.
Not if I can avoid it.
Yeah.
So that to me is sort of come see, come side. So I think that children should not be spanked, even though I think that my mom's family was really big on it. And I understand that parents wanted to sort of guide their children to make them understand right from wrong. But I also know that too many parents used it when they were frustrated or angry.
Sure.
And that's not training or teaching a child. I remember the first time I was in San Diego, I went out to eat with my friends that I was staying with, and there was a couple, we were eating on the patio, and there was a couple that had a child, and they went out to spank the child. And I thought some of the people on that patio were going to lynch the parents. Ooh, because, yeah. Oh, I mean, wow. I have never seen anybody be that vocal and that loud about it. And I thought, you know, back then I was like, oh, well, you know, the child was acting out, but now I realize that all of us are very different and there are better ways to mold your child and to teach your child than hitting the child. Because I think, unfortunately, for some people, it leads to future abuse.
Sure.
Well, yeah, they pay it forward.
You went in a real dark place, Dan. This is supposed to be a light episode.
Hey, y'all know me, don't you? Hello. Well,
I'm not a fan of corporal punishment either. I get it. I agree with you. I feel like there's also a lack of consequences for a lot of children as well.
Well, because children can be little assholes.
Yes, it can.
Well, and one thing that I really don't like to see, and this is me personally, I hate to see a parent negotiate with a child when a child is having a meltdown. Where's the negotiation? You're the parent. Fix this issue.
Well, so how do you suppose they fix it if they're not going to negotiate with them and they're not going to punish them? How do they fix it?
Well, one of the things you do is you take it out of the environment of everyone watching and gawking and prodding, and you take them, and it has to start early. This whole thing of letting a child do whatever they want,
sure,
that's not training a child. That's just being a lazy parent. I'm probably going to get hate mail for this, but I don't care about that. I mean, the thing is, so one of the things is when I say negotiating, offering something up to placate a child. I mean, you have to train children that they have a responsibility in public and in their lane.
Yeah.
And letting them do whatever they want and having continual meltdowns is not training a child. And then if you start negotiating once they've learned a bad behavior, it doesn't work. This is what I have to do with Rick. He's already spoiled.
Pure tea spoiled.
Pure tea trash as well.
Pure tea spoiled.
Well, if you want to get dark about it, Dan, we can get dark. Let's get dark. You know what's something that, you know what's something that I find so interesting that is just not acceptable anymore is how, for me growing up, and I feel like for a lot of people, because I've talked to people that have experienced this, there was always somebody in your neighborhood. There was always that one house in the neighborhood that everybody knew. You don't walk past that house. You don't go near Mr. So-and-so because they like little kids. Like Mr. So-and-so likes little girls, or Mr. So-and-so's a baby snatcher. And people just knew. People just knew, and it was just the thing, and it was fine, apparently.
I agree with you, George. I think that, fortunately, I think we're growing as a society, and our eyes are being opened that if we're looking at moving society ahead, we can't let child predators just be next door. We've got to say no.
Yes.
And don't just say don't walk next to it. We've got to call out a person that you know is doing wrong like that, because otherwise someone's going to be injured.
Yes, exactly. At some point, there is going to be some missing children on this milk carton, and it's going to be Mr. So-and-so down the block likes little kids.
Right.
I don't know if you've had this problem in Mayberry, Rick.
We did not have this problem in Mayberry, but I'm sure it existed. We just didn't know about it. Never made it to my neck of the woods.
That's right.
But it's in every town, of course, sure.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I thought about this conversation and this topic with your town, Dan, because your town had so many characters, but they're always such happy characters you talk about. I wasn't sure if there was a dark side to Cove City.
I will say that I don't remember a house that we weren't allowed to walk past. I think the one thing that I have been really thinking about so much recently is how much prejudice and how much hatred that I did see that I simply didn't realize because I was a child.
Sure.
That I think that now I look back and I'm like, wow, that's really, really bad. And while, because Rick and I sort of talked about this yesterday, I don't want to give examples, but I do remember that growing up, there were so many phrases used that would disparage others, being whether they were Asian or Black or Native American or whatever it was. Everyday phrases where you would just say, oh, that's a blue box. But instead of the word blue, it would be something else. And I'm really thankful that I look back and I say that I realize how really wrong it was. And hopefully, except for the last president, hopefully we're getting better as a society.
I feel fortunate in growing up. And listen, I've got family members that do that today, like it's nothing. But I feel very fortunate in knowing very early on growing up that that's not cool. And I don't know that I always had the voice to be able to say like that's not cool, but I knew it, and so I stayed away from it. If people said disparaging remarks about other people, whether it was based on race, whether it was based on, orientation or anything like that. Faggot was a big word that we heard coming up. I don't know if I can say that on a live, can I? Anyway, that was a word I heard growing up a lot. And it just, I don't want to be around that person when you're talking about things that make me uncomfortable like that. I feel fortunate to have known that at an early age. I certainly didn't respond the way I would respond today, but I knew that I didn't want to be around it. Anyway, do y'all remember standing in line to buy concert tickets? I'm just going to switch it back around to something later.
What was that, Rick? Sorry.
Do you remember when you used to have to stand in line to buy a concert or movie or theater tickets?
Oh, hell, do you even just remember going to the theater? Like, who does that anymore? Who goes to the movies anymore?
I go to the theater quite a bit and the movies.
Never, ever. Who needs it? There's Netflix, there's Prime, there's everything. Who needs to go anywhere? But yeah.
Well, sometimes it's nice to get out.
I don't actually remember ever standing in line to buy concert tickets, but I certainly remember like lining up to buy movie tickets, especially if it was like some big thing that was opening on that opening night, and everybody would just go and you would.
The line was around the corner.
Yes, girl. Around that Carmichael Cinema.
George was out by the cemetery and back of the mall.
Exactly.
So back in 2017, when the Wonder Woman movie was coming out, I got invited to an advanced screening of it. And so I went to this theater and I was like, oh, you know, here I am. Got my special little advanced screening ticket. I'm just going to be ushered right in. I'm going to sit down in my favorite chair and all this. I get to the freaking theater and that line is down the street and around the block, and I'm like, this is 2017, how is this happening? And all these people were standing in line. I'm like, I'm never gonna get to see this movie, but I did get to see it, and
they all thought they were special and gonna walk right in just like you did.
Marched right up there with the little bracelets, and
it's like, right. I bought the Wonder Woman doll. I'm ready to go.
There is nothing like an inconvenienced queen.
No. Girl, speak on that. Speak on that.
Lordy, lordy.
So, what else y'all got that we don't do anymore? Maybe this wasn't the biggest topic.
Well, that's it. We've been going on 26 minutes, so it's this topic. So, yeah.
Well, what about cameras? Cameras have changed a lot over time. Remember how you used to have to take a picture
and drop the film off? Yeah.
Drop the film off and wait. And like, I hope it turned out good, just to find out that it was.
None of it did. Yeah. Exactly. None of it is good. That everything is out of focus. And yeah, and you've photographed people's feet.
And I send pictures to my mom now that I take on my phone. And she's like, how do you just take such great pictures? I'm like, because I take 400 in my phone. And then I pick the one that I like the best out of those 400. Mm-hmm. And then I spend 35 minutes running it through some kind of filter app to make it better.
Girl.
So, yeah. That's preach, how you get it.
Preach on preach. Mm-hmm.
And we don't eat the way we used to. It used to be, I think, that, you know, I don't think nutrition was a thing a lot of people. I mean, I know growing up in the 80s, like diets and Jane Fonda and like, you know, it became a thing. But I don't feel like people, I don't know, maybe it was just my family. It was not, like, it was a thing, but nobody was paying attention to it. It was
I do think we eat differently now than we used to. I know that for me, a big thing, for years and years and years, I love going out to breakfast, diner breakfast and stuff. Mm-hmm. Number one, I like to be served at breakfast. I think that's a really great thing. But I find that finding a diner, especially here in Los Angeles, for a good breakfast in the morning is few and far between. We have Nat's down the street, which I think is really, really quite unusual. But I find that a lot of diners I go to, like you get a piece of bacon and I'm like, what is this? You can read through. It looks like a pair of pantyhose is so thin and it's greasy. And I'm like, no, I don't. You could read the newspaper. No, ma'am. I don't. That's right. Know, I want something that tastes good. I'm not overly fond of uber fried stuff anymore where I used to be. Of course, that could be age and just not what the rest of the world is doing. So
I'm fine with some fried food. I got no problem with it.
I think you just brought up another thing that we don't do anymore. Pantyhose.
Cool. True that.
people don't wear pantyhose anymore. You don't see them like at the drugstore and those little eggs.
The little eggs.
Exactly, yes. On that road. Yes.
Was it legs?
Honey, my mama, who was model thin, wore control top pantyhose to make sure nothing moved when she walked.
She was raised right.
She was raised right, but I mean, can you even find a pair of pantyhose or hose easily anymore?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't think so.
Literally, it used to be like you would.
Well, you probably get it on Amazon. You get everything on Amazon. And there's another thing. There's another thing. Amazon has completely changed the way, for me, the way I shop. Like,
yeah,
can I get this shit on Amazon so I don't have to run out to the store and grab it? And it'll be here in the morning. And like,
you can get it tomorrow. Exactly. Yeah. And it's so easy. It's so easy, and it's always so affordable.
Yeah, it's usually about 20 to 30% cheaper on Amazon than it is just about anywhere else. And it shocks me. And I've used it on film sets where I'm like, okay, I can get this ordered and delivered same day. We need it for this afternoon shot. I'm ordering it right now. Yeah. And the little drone will come in and drop it right down on the step. I'm like, got it. Let's go. So it's a game changer for me.
Yep. There was no Saturday morning shopping spree to go park at the parking mall, you know, park right, the mall right. And spend the day. Walking the mall.
Yeah. Or mama would say she wasn't quite ready because she hadn't finished rolling her hair to put under a crotchet to go to the mall. I'm like, could you do your hair on Thursday or whatever day? But no.
That's hilarious.
That is funny. Your mama.
Yeah, she was a piece of work, honey, that one. A piece of work.
You know what else we don't do today? We don't send our children out to mow the lawn with pinking shears.
Well, yeah, we don't send our children out to mow the lawn, period.
You know what?
We hire someone to do that.
Do you think that's true back home, though? You don't think kids are still...
No, I've got cousins and neighbors that actually love that. They love doing that on Saturdays. And so I know people here in LA that actually love doing that on Saturdays. I'm like, get somebody over here and do this shit. I ain't dealing with it.
Of course, back home, we don't mow the lawn. We cut the grass.
True that.
We don't.
And you ain't got no sprinkler systems to be worried about either, because it's just a garden hose, right? Like,
well, and rain.
And God's sprinkler.
Right. We've had too much of that in Los Angeles. I'm tired of it. I think we should move south of the border somewhere it's hot.
I'm done with the rain. Can it just go away?
Go away.
As I say this, as I'm about to get on a plane tomorrow morning to go to Vancouver, and it's going to rain for the next 4 days.
Are you going for work? Is it for a shoot?
No, I'm going for a little vacation. Going away for a weekend. I've got a friend who is... got a book released tomorrow night, and I've got some other friends who live up there. They've been up there for about 5 or 6 years, and I haven't seen them for one reason or another. And I was like, I'm just going to kill two birds with one stone here. I'm going to go up and spend a long weekend and call it a day.
Oh, so they moved up there when Trump was actually president, like everybody said they were going to do.
Yes, exactly. So they got out of here.
Hope you have a great trip.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited for it. So
nice.
All right. Should we call this a wrap on things that we don't do anymore?
Yes,
yeah, Mama still got some packing to do, honey. So
all right. Well, that sounds good. Should we pick a topic for next week, or shall we discuss it during the week?
I mean, it could be a surprise.
Well, it can always be a surprise.
Rick, do you have one? Maybe you have one.
No, not fully fleshed out yet. So I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, not fully in the flesh yet.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I hope you get some fully in the flesh in Vancouver. Love.
Exactly.
Oh, I've already been scouting.
Yeah, lovely, lovely.
Live nude now.
Bring dollars.
Well, you know, it's a whole different vibe in Canada. Nudity is allowed.
Praise the Lord, honey. Praise the Lord.
See.
All right, y'all. See you next week. What a great time.
Bye, everybody.